Over the past few years, the Catholic Church has been rocked by scandals of child sexual abuse and subsequent cover-ups. So it might seem like a strange time for a movie that puts a more positive spin on the religion, but this week a new film is attempting to do just that. And Jason DeRosso is with me this morning. Good morning to you.
Hey, this is one of these great Netflix films we're getting at towards the end of the year. It's been a good year for film and Netflix.
So it's called The Two Popes.
This is called The Two Popes. Reminded me a bit of The Irishman because it's about sort of old men.
Okay.
Coming to terms with the sort of stains on their moral, you know, on their conscience. But it's about Ratzinger, aka Pope Benedict, who was the sort of Pope before this one, who people may or may not remember, resigned famously.
I think I've been confusing this with, is it the young Pope? That was
the young
Jude Law thing.
The Jude Law thing, which is coming back. So
this is very confusing.
Yeah. Fictionalized accounts of popes, I guess, are something of a sort of trend at the moment. But this is less fictionalized than, you're led to believe it's less fictionalized than something like The Young Pope because it's about real people. And it's about, I sort of call it when Joseph met Jorge. It's about when Ratzinger, aka Pope Benedict, basically headhunted a man on the complete opposite end of the political and theological spectrum from him to take over from him. And so summoned to Rome a cardinal who'd been hanging out in the sort of shanty towns of Buenos Aires. This is Jorge Bergoglio, who is, of course, now the current pope. Sort of
great
summoned
pronunciation.
Him to, some, thank you. I have some Argentine in my family, there's a bit of that. Summons him to Rome to sort of headhunt him for the job, but without telling him, because it's kind of unprecedented that a pope would be contemplating resigning, let alone sort of headhunting his sort of successor. I guess supposedly the conclave vote is just a formality. So begins this two-hander of a film in which we sort of see these very tense meetings, actually, between Anthony Hopkins playing Ratzinger and Jonathan Pryce, who could almost be a Pope Francis impersonator, playing Bergoglio. Tense conversations, sort of intrigue behind the Vatican walls, a lot of theological sort of sparring, but also some kind of disarmingly vulnerable moments as well, where they're sort of not connecting and they're trying to sort of talk about pop culture references that might, you know, relate to both of them. And Ratzinger's never heard of the Beatles and Bergoglio loves them and Bergoglio loves football and Ratzinger doesn't, all that sort of stuff. And then we have flashbacks to some pretty dark moments in especially Bergoglio's life during the dirty war in Argentina. Shall we hear a clip? It's pretty good, this. I was really surprised at how much I liked it.
You've been one of my harshest critics. The way you live is a criticism. Your shoes are a criticism.
You don't like my shoes?
You think you know better?
We are no longer part of this world.
You know, the hardest thing is to listen. To hear his voice.
There we go. It does sound good.
It's somewhere between a telemovie, if that term even makes sense anymore, but something almost soapy, and something actually better than that, much better than that. I mean, there's a director, Fernando Morales, who made things like The City of God and Blindness. So there are moments where he'll do a sort of unsettling cut in the middle of dialogue that will kind of bring tension to a scene. He will. There's one scene where they're talking in the garden of the papal summer residence, where he lifts the sounds of the insects buzzing in the background to just make you feel this sort of claustrophobia between the two men. I think the big question is, how well does this engage with the stains on both men's past? Ratzinger, I think it pulls some punches with regards to child sex scandals.
But Bergoglio, what did you ask? I mean, does it get into the detail of the scandals?
Not really, and I'm speaking to Fernando Morales on the show this morning, so I'm going to ask him about that. I mean, it kind of addresses it, but it clearly wants to sort of stop being that film. So it does go there, but I don't think goes there as sort of severely and rigorously as some audiences might like. Likewise with Bergoglio, I mean, there is a lot dedicated to his time in a very grim-looking black and white Buenos Aires under the junta, the military junta in the 70s, where under his watch as head of the Jesuits, a couple of priests, his colleagues, men he was supposed to sort of be looking out for, ended up in prison and were tortured. Now, there are people in Argentina who still don't forgive him for that. I think the film's better on looking at that. And what Jonathan Pryce does so well, who's a kind of bubbly figure almost in this, he really evokes the sunniness of Pope Francis. he can also sort of evoke those shadows of a man really tormented by guilt. It's a really extraordinary film, I think. Look, it's going to be out on Netflix in time for your sort of Christmas Day watching, if you're so inclined. But it's also in cinemas this week.
All right.
The Two Popes, yeah.
Also on the show this week, you're discussing a film which I've got to say sounds like the very definition of an art house film. It's a French film made by a Japanese director.
Yeah, and set with Catherine Deneuve.
How introspective can it be?
Look, Catherine Deneuve plays this diva, slightly toxic woman, actually, an actress. Juliette Binoche plays her daughter who comes visiting from LA where she works as a screenwriter. She's got her recovering alcoholic, kind of slightly crumpled American TV actor husband in tow and her daughter, Ethan Hawke. And it becomes this film about this toxic relationship, I guess, mother-daughter relationship. But it's also about, you know, what one will do, what one needed to do once upon a time as a woman to sort of have a career in film. But talk about stains on people's sort of moral pasts and records. Catherine Deneuve, there are certain skeletons in the closet, wonderfully directed by director Correa, who won Cannes with Shoplifters a couple of years back. His first film made outside of Japan, he's on the show as well. This actually releases Boxing Day, but there is a special preview release this Sunday around the country, so which is why I'm sort of talking about it this week, so people will get a chance to see it. I think this is a delightful film. It looks a little bit light, and yet it is so deep. But what it says about the film industry, what it says about the roles we play and the roles we need to play to sort of survive through careers and so forth is very deep. And the fallout on people's personal lives is also wonderful, and Deneuve is just amazing in it. Binoche is wonderful. The film wouldn't work without Binoche because it's through her character, the daughter's eyes, that we see this woman. And there's this wonderful melancholy kind of reflection of this mother-daughter tension in a film within a film. Deneuve's character is currently making a film about a mother and daughter, and it's a sci-fi movie, and it's about time travel. So there's just layer upon layer. It's an onion, but it's absolutely beautifully done. It's called The Truth, and you can see it Sunday, or you have to wait until Boxing Day.
Thank you very much, Jason. Great to see you as always.
You're welcome.
That's RN's film critic and host of The Screen Show on air this morning at 10 a.m. You can hear from the directors of both of those films, The Two Popes and The Truth, on that program today at 10. Jason, thanks very much.